This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So I wanted to continue on this theme of the Qur'an and how we interact with the Qur'an, but in a very specific way, which is how we make dua, how we supplicate with the Qur'an. And there's something very beautiful to pay attention to here. The Qur'an is the word of Allah. Allah talks to you through the Qur'an. Read it like a personal letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you make dua, when you supplicate directly to Allah. You are talking directly to Allah. So what more beautiful than when Allah talks to you and tells you how to talk to Him. Tells you this is the best way to call upon me. And that's why, of course, when we begin our prayer, the opening chapter of the Qur'an is a dua. Surah Al-Fatiha is a dua. It's a supplication. And so we start with a supplication. But something very beautiful I want you to pay attention to. Every night before the Prophet ﷺ went to sleep, he recited a dua from the Qur'an. Can anyone tell me what dua that was? It's one that we already completed in the recitation. Before he went to sleep, he always recited this particular dua from the Qur'an. Can anyone tell me? The last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay? رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا until the end. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites these two, it will suffice them. Meaning if you don't recite some of the other remembrances at night, recite these two verses from the Qur'an before you go to sleep. Now here's a lesser known one. So he went to sleep on a dua from the Qur'an, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he woke up, he also woke up with a dua from the Qur'an. Does anyone know which dua that was? It was the last... What's he saying? The last verses of Ali Imran, which were recited, are extra credit. What rak'ah? Second rak'ah tonight. So the verses that were recited in the second rak'ah tonight, which are the last verses of Ali Imran, the Prophet ﷺ used to wake up, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ until the end of it. O our Lord, you did not create all of this in vain. How perfect are you? So protect us from the punishment of the fire. This is such a profound reality just for a moment, because we've already covered these du'as. He went to sleep on the end of Al-Baqarah. He woke up on the end of Al-Ali Imran, which shows you the power and the virtue right away of these du'as from the Qur'an, of these supplications from the Qur'an. And this is taken from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who describes in the long narration where he spent the night in the house of the Prophet ﷺ, and his aunt Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha was the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, and he watched the Prophet ﷺ, and he narrates to us his night prayer, his qiyam. And he said that he woke up sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he rose up quickly and he recited the last verses of Ali Imran, this profound supplication from Ali Imran. So he starts with a dua from the Qur'an, he ends with a dua from the Qur'an. Our prayer starts with a dua from the Qur'an. There's something special about the du'as from the Qur'an. So let's categorize how we make dua with the Qur'an. First and foremost, there are the du'as, the supplications that the Prophet ﷺ taught us specifically to make use of. The most frequent dua of the Prophet ﷺ, according to Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Our Lord, grant us the best of this life and the best of the hereafter and protect us from the punishment of the fire. According to Anas radiallahu anhu, that's the dua he heard the Prophet ﷺ make most. The Prophet ﷺ used to make this dua so often. It's a part of our Hajj and our Umrah. In the last round of Tawaf, the only narrated supplication from the Prophet ﷺ. And he loved comprehensive du'as. The Prophet ﷺ loved these du'as that are so short, yet so comprehensive. Everything is encompassed in this du'a. So you have, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Salama radiallahu anha says that the dua the Prophet ﷺ used to make, that she heard, the dua he used to make most was, does anyone know? Anyone? Ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. O turner of hearts, make my heart firm on your path. Thumma qara'a, she says, then he would read, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Again, a supplication from Ali Imran. O our Lord, do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided them. Okay? So a Quranic comparison or a Quranic parallel to that dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you have again the du'as from the Quran that the Prophet ﷺ used to be frequent with, those should be your most frequent du'as. And so as you're trying to think of the next du'a to make and the next du'a to make and you're in the middle of your du'a, push yourself to frequently recite those du'as that we learned from the Quran that the Prophet ﷺ used to frequent most. Then you have the du'as of the prophets of Allah, Ibrahim, Musa, Moses, Isa, Jesus, all of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his peace and blessings upon them all. These are special people. Zakaria, Maryam, Mary, incredible human beings. The best class of people that have ever walked the face of the earth. As a fraternity, the prophets are Allah's most favored people. As a fraternity, as a group of people. And so when Allah tells you how they called upon him, pay attention. Pay attention. Because these are the best people to ever call upon Allah with the best of words. And so those are du'as that you should also frequent. And so if you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something good, use the du'a of Sulaiman. If you're under trial, if you're going through some severe difficulty, the du'a of Ayyub, Job. If you are lost and you're looking for the next step in your life, the du'a of Musa alayhi salam when he was lost in Egypt. All of these different du'as give you a circumstance and the supplications of the best human beings to ever call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you have the du'as, the third category, are the supplications that belong to righteous categories of people. And most of these supplications that Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah says are actually the du'as of prophets, even if they are not explicitly attributed to a prophet in the Qur'an. Meaning, if you come across a du'a where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a group of believers saying, Rabbana, our Lord, usually that is the du'a of one or more of the prophets of Allah. So it is a grouping of believers, but those are blessed du'as, such as the one that we just mentioned, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana, O Allah, do not let our hearts go astray after you have guided them. Fourthly, the scholars mention that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew how to make du'a with every single verse of the Quran. كان عليه الصلاة والسلام يقوم الليل بآية. Subhanallah. He would spend the entire night with one verse of the Quran. He'd read that same verse of the Quran. He'd make du'a for it. He would cry with it. He'd remember Allah with it over and over and over again. So as you're going through the Quran and as you're reading, if you find yourself moved and impacted by one, stay with that verse and make du'a. If you come across a verse about paradise and you suddenly find your heart longing for paradise, stop and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for paradise. If you come across a verse about the fire and it scares you, stop and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection. If you come across a verse about hypocrisy and you notice some of those signs, stop and ask Allah to protect you from hypocrisy. If you come across a verse about trials and tribulations, stop and make du'a for the ummah. Whatever it is, stop and make du'a if you can, for however long you want to, because the Prophet ﷺ used to stop with a verse of the Qur'an and make du'a for a long time. The fifth thing, and inshallah ta'ala I'll conclude with this for the sake of time, a very interesting portion of du'a of the Qur'an. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, قَالَ نَهَانِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ عَنْ قِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ وَأَنَا رَاكِعٌ أَوْ سَاجِدٌ. He said the Prophet ﷺ prohibited me from reciting the Qur'an while I was bowing or while I was prostrating. So it is prohibited to read the Qur'an when you're in ruku' and when you're in sujood, when you're bowing and when you are in prostration. And in the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said the same thing that Ali radiallahu anhu said, except he said nahana, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited us as a whole. And he said, فَأَمَّا الرُّكُوعُ فَعَظِّمُوا فِيهِ الرَّبُّ. When you're in, you're bowing, glorify your Lord. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to bow for long periods of time. His ruku' would be extended in qiyam, sometimes to the same extent as his standing up and reading. فَعَظِّمُوا فِيهِ الرَّبُّ. So someone might ask, well, what am I supposed to do in ruku'? Just declare the praise, the majesty of your Lord, all of the tasbih, all of the forms of dhikr, remembrance of Allah, that surround this idea of glorification. Just glorify Allah in your ruku', like you're bowing to the King of all kings, and indeed you are bowing to the King of all kings. So glorify Him as you're in your ruku'. And he said, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, وَأَمَّا السُّجُودِ فَاجْتَهِدُوا فِي الدُّعَاءِ. He said, when you're in prostration, exert yourself in dua. Push yourself to make more and more and more dua. The closest you will be to your Lord in any situation is when your face is on the ground and you're glorifying Him and you are prostrating. That's the time when you are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your du'as are best. So here's the apparent contradiction. The best du'as are the du'as of the Qur'an. The best time to make du'a is when you're in sujood. وَنَهَانَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ عَنْ قِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي السُّجُودِ. But the Prophet ﷺ prohibited us from reading the Qur'an in sujood. Here's an important clarification, because this question comes to us multiple times. There is a difference between reading a du'a from the Qur'an with the niyyah, with the intention of du'a, and reading it with the intention of qira'ah, of recitation. It is not the same, and in fact, you find this practice from the pious predecessors to still use the du'as of the Qur'an when you are in your sujood. Use the du'as of the Qur'an when you are in your sujood. In fact, they're the best of du'as. And there are multiple narrations from Sufyan al-Thawri and others. They'd spend the entire night with a du'a from the Qur'an in their sujood, in their sajda. And many people miss out on this blessing. But they read it with the niyyah, with the intention of du'a, not with the intention of a recitation of the Qur'an. So it is still blessed even then. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of Qur'an and to give us the best ways to call upon Him and to let our hearts always be present in our du'as as well. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khair. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.